getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
0.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, a Friday edition. Clint Scott with Jamie Lint. Luke's White behind the glass. Brendan Riker now behind him. Studying up. Just kidding. He doesn't need to study. He knows what he's doing. He can do it with his eyes closed now. He's a pro. The consummate pro.
That's why we started paying him.
Yeah. Finally. Good old BPE. We'll have Jamie's question of the day here in just a second. But I wanted to get your thoughts on the state of Kentucky basketball. Jamie, is not good right now. The other night, they lost to South Carolina. We will have Kentucky's next game tomorrow, starting at 10:45, as they take on the fifth-ranked, I believe, Tennessee Volunteers on the road. Right now, they are a bubble-ish team. I think in the net rankings, they're like right at 64. And you had a fan, I don't know if you guys have talked about this or not, but you had a fan get kicked out. Because he brought in a sign as South Carolina was beating them for the first time there at Rupp Arena in 14 seasons that said, hey, go to Texas. And they kicked him out for it. Now, I don't know if he was saying things with it or if he just had the sign. But this is like, I don't know, I'm kind of pro-fan here.
They threw him out for it? I think you can probably just tell... make him put the sign away.
Yeah. And like I said, maybe he was saying something with it.
Yeah.
I'm sure he was saying something, but maybe he was saying something like truly awful that was worth being kicked out over. But it made it seem like, hey, obviously things are bad with Kentucky basketball right now. They're 10-6, but they're 1-3 in SEC play. Last year they get to the 2 seed, but then they get knocked out. And I mean, a couple years before that, they were in the weird year, COVID year, they were 9-16, like the lifetime quote unquote contract given there to one Calipari has really seen some elbows rubbed the wrong way together now. And it seems like there has been communication, or at least interest, between a what will be an SEC team in Texas. We'll be looking for a head coach. Personally, I think it's like perfect fit. Now, I don't think more just of like personality wise, not so much, boy, they need a guy that can get recruits here, because that's not been the problem with Texas basketball.
No,
at all. And for me, the problem with Kentucky is it seems like they've lost some staff members over the years. When you date back to their last championship in 2012, that were really good at producing players, and now it feels like he has a whole staff that's really good at recruiting, and they're not good developers, and they're not good game planners, and it feels like he needs that around them. So they could probably do that at Texas, but, I mean, to throw a dude out because he's upset with the program, I get it. He's saying, hey, leave, but kicking him out seems kind of weak.
Yeah, I also have a really good recruiting class coming in, so
yeah,
I don't know if he leaves... they'll lose all those guys for sure.
His buyout, I saw today, if that's correct, is just under $40 million, which for Kentucky basketball feels doable.
Sure.
I don't think they would have an issue coming up with the funds to do that. But that's the battle that they're going to have to – because, I mean, they've still been getting guys in these badges. And he did – I mean, kudos to him for keeping the National Player of the Year – now, NIL certainly helps now.
Sure.
And Oscar Tshiebwe on the roster. But still, what does that mean to them? Because if he goes sub 500, which is what they're on pace for right now in SEC play, and they do miss the tournament, I mean, it's not exactly a great response.
No, not at all.
For their standards.
Sure.
So, just interesting development.
For their standards, it's a terrible response.
Yeah. All right, you got a question of the day for us?
Jamie's question of the day on 100.7 The Score is presented by Bizarre Solutions. Call them today for a free cybersecurity audit.
All right, I'm going NFL with you guys today. I want you to look at the 5 games this weekend, not counting Monday night. 5 games this weekend. It's two-parter. I need you to give me the game that you think will be the biggest blowout in the game that you think will be the tightest game?
Ooh, I think the biggest blowout will be San Francisco at home against Seattle. I think San Francisco is very focused, and as I mentioned, they beat them twice in the regular season, and neither game was really all that close. And I mean, the 49ers, surprisingly, led by one Brockley Purdy. I mean, they're rolling right now. And even though, how about Geno Smith setting the Seattle passing record in this season? Mm-hmm. Hilarious. I think that this game for the 49ers, they're going to be starting a road to the Super Bowl. They're my NFC Super Bowl pick. I think they'll blow out the Seahawks. I think the best game of the weekend is going to be Jacksonville and the Chargers. I think that's going to be a 30-plus for each team scored game and be well within a touchdown, maybe a field goal. And I think that one's going to be back and forth the entire time. And it's also going to be a fun storyline. Again, two young quarterbacks, how do they react? I mean, they've Trevor Lawrence and Justin Herbert have both had terrific seasons. Justin Herbert has had a couple of really good seasons. It seems like they're kind of the next superstars up, but the playoffs are such a different game and such a different approach. Like, seeing how that they respond to that is going to be really fun. And I think you're going to see two offenses really light it up.
Okay.
So the biggest blowout that I can see will be the Bills and the Dolphins game. I think with Miami just kind of throwing Skylar Thompson out there. I mean, it's obviously not his first game, but it's going to be his first playoff game on the road. 28 degrees.
Hey, man, he almost beat the Jets.
Almost beat the Jets. But I do think the Bills are definitely going to steamroll. I think Josh Allen is going to – I can see him throwing three touchdowns, definitely. And the defense is just going to – I think Tyreek Hill can't have a – solid game, but it's going to take more than just him to have a good game. So I think the Bills can definitely blow out the Dolphins. In the close matchup, I agree with Clint. I think it's going to be the Chargers and the Jaguars. Both teams have definitely turned their season around from where they were in the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. So they have definitely proven themselves to be where they are. I saw on Twitter that the losing quarterback, Trevor or Justin, has to shave their head. That'd be pretty funny to see, for sure. It won't happen, but it'll be funny to see
the loser. I thought you meant that was like a little...
No, it's not real.
Totally sure. Either one of those guys would almost be unrecognizable.
Yes, oh, I agree. I bet you're right.
Yeah, so... But I think the Chargers can squeak it out, hopefully.
Right, I'm going with Clint on the first one, Seahawks and Niners. I think the Niners were able to put it on the Seahawks, unless Purdy feels the postseason. You know, you mentioned those two guys in the Chargers and Jaguars, their first starts in the playoffs and all that good stuff. Same thing for Brock Purdy. So Pete Carroll's a good defensive coach. We'll see if things, you know, are the same that were in the regular season when the Niners handled them pretty easily. But I still think that one's got the potential to be a big blowout. I think the game that, to me, I'm really intrigued by that has a chance to be really good, I think, is the Vikings and Giants. I think the Giants have enough to beat the Vikings. I don't think the Vikings are as good as their record shows. Home field definitely factors into this one, but I think it's going to be a good game.
And again, the regular season game of that was a terrific game. Went down to what, a game-winning field? Did that one go to overtime, or was that one ended in regulation?
Seems like it was an overtime game.
Yeah, I think it was an overtime. And I know that Lamar Jackson is out, but anytime you have division rivals meeting up in the playoffs, I mean, really, you can throw a lot of stuff out of the window. I mean, who knows? That the Bengals-Ravens game could be a sneaky good one just because you have that kind of heated hate from each team. So I wish, clearly, that Lamar Jackson was in that game, because that would have been really, really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And they just played a week ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So,
The regular season outcome was 27-24. It was in regulation.
Okay.
And there was 28 points scored in the fourth quarter between both teams.
Nice.
So there you go. All right. We will bid adieu to Lucas and Lil Crouton. You guys have a great rest of your Friday.
Line change.
Line change. Bring in the righty. Righties. I'm assuming Sneed and
I was going to go with righties. Wrongies, but okay.
The incorrecties. Bring in the incorrecties. Hopefully we're bringing in the ranty next.
Oh, that's what yes. We want.
This dumb rant-free 23 that he's trying to do. Do we know? Did we get one? I didn't check in.
I have not heard one yet.
Okay, so got a job to do today. It's the bottom line, 100.7 The Score.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Could have been somebody. Could have been a contender. It's time for contenders and pretenders. As we look to the wild card round of the NFL playoffs. You've got the bottom line, 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com. Clint Scott, Chris Sneed,
Clint!
Brennan, paid employee.
B-P-E.
B-P-E. So this is going to be pretty simple of what we're going to do. As we go through the wild card matchups, you don't have to go through each individual team. I want to know from each matchup as we go through them, if there is a contender, possibly two contenders, or are they both pretenders? A lot of options here in each matchup.
Yeah.
As we start to see of specifically who could win
the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. A Super Bowl. Not make a conference championship, not make the Super Bowl, win a subpar bowl.
Okay, this will be very interesting, and I know we'll wait for the teams, but this could be interesting because there's one league that's decidedly better and more suitable, able to win a Super Bowl this year. If you don't know where I stand after this this little exercise.
I have a guess that we stand in the same conference, and it starts with an A, ends with an FC. We'll start off with the first game we'll have tomorrow right here on 100.7 The Score starting at 3 o'clock. Is there a contender in the Seahawks and 49ers matchup? 49ers at home.
Yes.
Yo, Adrian! I did it!
Oh, God.
That's what I felt like a couple of days ago. Honey, do you want any more soup?
If you could change, and I could change, and we could change.
Good Rocky. Chris Rocky Sneed. Chris Balboa Sneed.
What do you think? We're going to go. I think I love you. I want to think about getting married.
Reshoot the movie? BPE in? You know, you can do camera work? And just him as Rocky Balboa? All seven of them? Six of them?
Six? Yeah. I don't know about all that, Doc Party.
We don't even have to name the movie Rocky. We can just say Chris Sneed, the boxer.
clearly... You're meeting the Seattle Seahawks of these two, right?
No.
Oh, no? Oh, no, no, no. Yeah, I said this earlier. The 49ers are my actual NFC pick to make the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think that they are a clear contender defensively and offensively. Brock Purdy has shown himself a very, very more than capable quarterback. What does it look like when the lights shine the brightest? You'll find out. Maybe not so much from this game. But maybe the next round. Now, they could get upset, but I picked this as one of the blowout games earlier of the wild card
this,
round.
This game has got snooze fest over at halftime written all over it. And then, so watch this. It'll be, you know, the Seahawks will be kicking a 54-yard field goal to win at the buzzer.
Can you believe it? Geno Smith sets the single season passing record for the Seahawks and then wins the wild card round.
Of course. You know, Brock Purdy. Mr. Irrelevant.
Oh,
good gosh. I mean, can you imagine if you're like someone in the you know, you're Lynch and you're like, I got this all. I've got Trey Lance. I've got Garoppolo as my backup and we drafted this guy over here at the last pick, you know. This guy's pretty good. And now you're like, this guy's my quarterback. And now you're like, hey, hey, Brocktober, man, we really need you to be good here in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know we're not going to pinch you to wake you up, you know. Just pretend that you're playing Texas Tech across the way and you got Kansas 2 weeks from now in the NFC Championship game. That's what you got, you know. Just pretend it's those guys.
Well, and Trey Lance is such an interesting player right now. Kind of an unknown, not because of where he played with North Dakota State, because there was a lot of scouts that liked him, but an unknown of when you step up, not just from Division I yeah. talent. It's, that's the difference.
This FCS just from, talent.
Yeah, and can he make that jump? And then there's a reason he didn't start year one, and there's a reason if Garoppolo wasn't having injury issues, I think he would have started week one for them because they were having some reservations with what he looked like. And then now when you have the decision made in your hand for you, when a player's mm-hmm. injury makes that decision for you, then you're like, oh, yeah, all behind the young guy. Year two, he's going to take off. And now you have injury questions with it, too, because that was a big one.
Well, it's the same injury that Dak had, and Dak's come back from that, except that Dak can't stop throwing the ball to the other team.
Right, and he did, and I'm not saying that he can't, but you're going to have that question until you see it. But you're also going to have the question, is he a fully capable NFL quarterback, or is he a bust? Or if you make a run with Brock Purdy, what does that look like in the offseason?
That's the fascinating part. What happens if Brocktober, you know, I mean, the Brock party gets out there and leads this team to a Super Bowl? And Trey Lance is sitting over there, oh, boy, you know?
Yeah.
And do you tell Brocktober that he's now, hey, now, hey, thanks for winning the Super Bowl. We invested just a butt ton of money in this dude over here. Mm-hmm. So we're going to ask you to pick up this clipboard, you know, that little earpiece, put that back in, mm-hmm. And then signal in plays to him.
I will say, surely that's finally the sign that Garoppolo won't be there. And I think even if they just make it, because now you're doing the same thing with a younger guy and less money. And there's going to be a team out there like maybe a Colts who possibly would want and would be interested in a Garoppolo.
Yeah.
Who's kind of the third piece of that recipe.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the next game. Is there a contender in the second game of the Saturday slate with the Chargers at the Jaguars?
This has three words that come to mind. Toothless pillow fight. Neither one of these teams are contenders. I think these teams are, I don't know if they can tie and just both book tee times for next week. I mean, because this is the matchup to see who gets their ass kicked by the Chiefs next week.
Yeah.
That's all it really is.
I could have been somebody.
Could have been somebody.
Now, yeah. What you are going to be is the sacrificial lamb for mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes next week.
Like this, I really do think this is going to be a really great wild card game, high scoring affair. But as far as the Super Bowl, I don't think this game really plays a huge factor in it.
No.
Let's jump all the way to the Monday game. We'll kind of ping pong back and forth just because I'm interested. How about the Dallas Cowboys at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
No.
Is there a contender? No. I can't even get to the question.
I could have been somebody. No.
The Cowboys are probably better suited to beat every team in the playoffs from the NFC except the one they're playing. Mm-hmm. And the NFC, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, can't beat anybody else in the playoffs except the team that they're playing.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a Tampa Bay win, probably by 10 or more points. And then Tampa Bay is going to get beat by double digits next week by whoever they play.
See, I think the Cowboys will actually win in a game that both teams struggle. I think this is going to be an ugly game.
No, I'm calling it right now. Dak Prescott will have a pick six in this game. He will throw a pick six in this game, one of his multiple interceptions for the Cowboys.
Mm. I'm not going to be
six
surprised.
Six straight games with an interception? Six straight games?
Yeah.
Hey, Dak, bad. Throw the guys that dress like you.
Led the league in interceptions this season, and missed some time on top of that. What could that number have been?
I mean, he missed what? He missed six games?
Somewhere around there.
Cowboys won 12 games. Does that mean, he missed six?
Well, no, he didn't miss six.
I thought he missed six games. Did Cooper Rush win four, five games?
Four. I think it was four. Hold on. I can tell you.
I mean, there's only some.
We have the technology.
A handheld device that could, we could ask, you know.
Four. He missed.
His four games?
Wait, one, two. I can't count.
Yeah.
Five. He missed five.
Because
he missed the Bengals, the Giants, the Commanders, the Rams, and then Cooper. He won all of those, and then they lost against the Eagles, and he came back against the Lions. So, five games without him. What could that number have been? This is what I mean, I think.
Wait a second. Let's run down that list with what would have happened if he was there.
Yeah, because you would have faced a really good Giants team on the road. A really good defensively.
Yeah.
Defensive Giants team. You had the Commanders in there. You had the Rams. And then you had the Eagles.
He lost to the Commanders last week.
That number could have been in the 20s.
Hey, remember that back then? No joke. Remember back then? The Commanders? I think we thought that might be pretty good then.
Well, that was before their slide. Yeah.
We beat a pretty good Commanders team with Cooper Rush.
So for the Cowboys, here's the issue for me too. If you do win on the road, the problem is you're going to have to do that most likely all the way through the playoffs. And where have you struggled the most?
On the road.
On the road. I just,
yeah.
I would be.
Unless you go to Minnesota.
Not an NFC championship, but a Super Bowl. I would be pretty shocked that the Cowboys made it.
I'd be shocked if they get out of Tampa Bay. Talking about the Super Bowl, the NFC Championship game. What are you smoking, man? Are you on some meds over there?
Yes, actually, I am. It's in the bag. They gave me a syringe this time. More next on 100.7 this week.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
That music means it's time for the fastest growing game show in the world, Take versus Take. I am currently sitting in seventh in the standings because there have been seven different people that have won Take versus Take in 2023 where I have not. That standing will grow to eight regardless today because I refuse to be a Jamie Linton and give myself points. I won't do it. I won't have that sort of nonsense when I'm asking the questions. But your competitors today, one Chris Sneed, one Brennan Paid employee. Gentlemen, how's our competitive meter feeling today?
Jeez. You have to ask me?
No, I don't. Just wanted to.
I mean, by the way, just, you know, after we do this, I have video of the last guy that challenged me to the foul pole roast.
Oh, you do?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, good. Uh-huh. And I can show Bullfighter, I can show you that too.
Oh, by the way, he asked, and I can back him up on this. Apparently, there was some wondering of if he had said that he'd been injured.
Yeah, he said he was injured.
I do remember him saying that. It was like a month and a half ago where he fell off a ladder. I remember laughing because he was threatening to push me off a ladder for like 2 months. Not laughing. That's mean. Hope everything's all good. I want you guys to be as healthy as you can be.
He better be healthy.
See the outcome.
He better be healthy. I'll show you the video.
Not even close. Brennan, where's our headspace behind the glass today? That's good. Okay. You're on a roll already, man.
I thought you were asking for a bed, so I started looking, and I was like, no, he's actually talking about me, myself.
Yeah, you, Brennan.
Oh, I don't know. You tell me.
Well, okay, I guess that's fair. We'll start out, Sneed. You'll be up first. What professional athlete did you, or do you, could be current or past, watch that gave you a false confidence that you could be doing the same exact thing? What athlete was like, I could be doing what you're doing?
Either Reggie Jackson, Daryl Strawberry, Drew Pearson, or Tony Dorsett. Any of those guys, I felt like, well, heck, that's pretty easy to hit home runs. Look at that guy. He's doing it.
That's still major
confidence. And I tell you, I was such a Reggie Jackson fan growing up, you know, and that I'm right-handed. Uh-huh. Reggie Jackson hit left-handed. I always tried in Little League to hit left-handed.
That's some insane confidence. I see what you're doing.
Jackson's doing it.
I could do the same thing with my offhand. Get out of here, Reggie. Nonsense. Brennan?
This one's tough for me because by the time I was in middle school, it's like, okay, there's no way I'm going to make it to anything. So there's no reason to try to, you know, look forward to the future. But I'd probably say Tom Brady because never has there been someone that looks as unathletic as Tom Brady and has had as much success as Tom Brady.
Brennan's going to get the point by a little bit. And Tom Brady is a part of one of my favorite videos of all time where a guy, I think he was a Steelers fan maybe, and he's just a hater,
and is doing a highlight package and like Tom Brady's making some of the most ridiculous passes you've ever seen. I mean, look at this pass to the flat. There isn't a defender within 10 yards. No other NFL quarterback is making this throw. And I was that way forever, and it was because I disliked him so much. And again, I agree, too. You go to the infamous now draft picture of him.
Oh, gosh, as he's sitting there like, oh, yeah. And I was like, who is this guy? Is this the guy delivering pizzas to me on Thursday night?
Yeah, no. Jeez. You're right. I am horrible looking. I look like I got ran over twice.
Wow. That's what Tom Brady said.
That's well put. Mine was Brian Scalabrine.
Brian Scalabrine?
The White Mamba. There's a lot of people that said this. I remember he had one of the best quotes of all time, and he was like, hey, like someone was trashing him, and he was like, I just want you to know, I'm a lot closer to Kobe Bryant than you are to me. To a fan. All time quote.
You weren't here the other day when I was on Wednesday. When I came back after doing my basketball game, mm-hmm. and I didn't tell where I was at, and a fan, I was at the scorer's table, and a fan was yelling at me, telling me I didn't know what traveling was. And I said, your kid took three steps. And he said, why didn't you call the foul? I said, the foul would have been on your kid. He said, we called a travel. If we didn't call a travel, we would have called a charge on your kid.
Come on, call the foul.
And I sat there and looked up and I said, that's why I'm down here and you're up there.
Sports parents, they are the best.
Yeah. Sorry, I mean.
Was it Jamie? You can be honest.
No, it wasn't Jamie.
Come on, Steve, that's a
Jamie's
foul.
Jamie's actually very, I've done a game or two with Jamie in the stands and Jamie's never said anything.
That's not my experience when I've called some friendship games here and I'm like, before we get on from up there, just screaming, hanging over the rafter, walking onto the court. I mean, texting the coach during the game. Totally joking.
Helicopter.
Question number two. Brennan is up 1-0.
Mm.
Let's get a food question in. We always do this for take versus take.
I love food.
I'm going to let you guys make your go-to breakfast plate. You get four food selections and one drink. Brennan, you get to go first this time.
We would start with a drink, coffee.
Just plain?
Anyone can doctor it how they want to.
Well, it's your plate.
Okay, then I'm not going to put anything in it.
Okay.
We're going to go bacon, eggs, hash browns, and biscuits and gravy.
Well, you got a high wall to climb, Steve.
Really? Well, let's start climbing it. We're gonna have a bacon sausage ham and cheese omelet with extra American cheese on the top.
Wait, can you do that?
No. Hold up on that car wash there, BPE. Unless you gave your food. Now you sit over there and listen to what I'm saying. Okay.
You're
gonna
stop.
I'm gonna go down and we're gonna have us a Waffle House waffle. The kind that comes right off of the grill where they're scraping the extra batter off the sides of that deal. Piping hot with butter on all four corners with warmed up gravy, hash browns on the side, bacon wrapped bacon with a side of bacon, top it off with a giant, and I mean giant, glass of OJ.
Man. Sneed, you're going to have to try not to get swept today because Brennan has my exact favorite breakfast plate.
What?
He nailed. It's like I wrote the answer for him. Doesn't it? See, when it happens like this, you want to yell collusion, right?
I say collusion.
I can promise you there's no
shenanigans. I'm calling shenanigans right here. I think y'all got together and said, we will not let Sneed win. Just like the Halloween contest, we will not let Sneed win.
Let's talk about the Halloween costume contest, shall we? All right, last but not least, Snee trying not to get swept. How unlucky could you be?
Here's my pity point right here. I'm going to get a pity point here.
No, I don't give out pity points. Oh. I love sweeps. Ooh. So it's stacked against you right now. You're forced for a whole week, full 7 days, listen to one song on repeat over and over and over and over again. What's the song?
Do you remember the 21st night of September?
Okay, that's a good one. Little Four Seasons in there. we played that song when I was in pep band. That was like our go-to, and we sucked, and we just—I mean, it would have ruined it for you, Brennan.
I would have to go Rihanna, Fleetwood Mac.
Oh. Mm. Okay. So Sneed's going to get the point. And I'll tell you why, because I actually like that song a little bit more.
Wait a second. That is a pity point?
No. It's not a pity point, because whatever song I was having to do this with at the end would probably hate.
Mm.
So I would have picked a song that I already hated or was borderline, because there's like songs that I don't want to hate, but I would love to keep listening to. And so I think that one...
I love September. I can listen to that song every day of my life.
It's just a 50-50 chance if I'm listening to that, again, from the Pep Band stuff, if I'm listening to that sarcastically or for real. But I do like that song. But Snee doesn't get swept.
No swept.
Everybody boos. Congratulations, though, to BPE on his first take versus take victory. Put me down, you terrorists!
I've actually won. I've won take versus take before.
But not this year.
And not even in this studio.
So it was studio.
It's been since we were over at the previous location in the smaller venue.
We get this on the chat line. Hit us up there. Thoughts, comments, questions. You can give your take versus take answers. Question for Snead. Was that at the Kingdom Prep versus All State Saints game?
No, it was not in the city of Lubbock.
Mm. Bullfighter would like you to send him the video. He wants to see how slow you are.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, you got it. I mean, is the guy you're racing even trying?
That's him in front, and that's me coming back. Look at this. Closing speed and kick, striding out. Goodbye, nurse.
Okay.
Thanks for coming. Look at that.
Wow. Mm.
Yeah. Come get some of that.
That wasn't even close. That's great, Ray.
Come get some of that, Bullfighter. Come get some of that.
I thought you were just killing the person that wasn't trying. You just were.
Gave him a little bit of a head start. Yeah. We had an agreement that we were going to just kind of jog it out, and he took off like a shot. And I was like, okay, here we go.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Got us on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Thank you for joining us live from the First United Bank Studio. You can call us on the Benchmark Hotline, 806-771-0973. Or you can keep hitting us up on the 8th Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, bird facts, all of that welcome there. Don't forget, you can take us anywhere with the mobile app. Brought to you by Happy State Bank. It is a Viking Captain Sneederoo, Brennan Paid employee. Mm. Approved nickname 2023.
Nope, not. No.
Still not? And,
yeah, but I mean, no. No, it's not.
Mm.
Not an approved nickname. Man. No.
What do we have to do to get it approved? What are the steps?
Stop saying it. Sneed, Sneeder, on occasion Sneedster. And that's only because that's an approved nickname for daughter number 3.
Okay.
And I'm not even a big fan of that. So really,
I was going to say, if it wasn't daughter number 3, not Sneed, a fan of Sneedster?
Sneed, like Schned, Sneeder.
Schned.
That Schned is the nickname given to me by my high school buddies. They call me Schned.
Okay. I like that. Schned. Schned. Oh, man, Sneederoo.
Nope.
Well, it's not just Sneederoo. I mean, let's get
that's
it.
That's not a Captain Sneederoo. Title.
Captain no. Sneederoo. No. All caps, all day. Captain Sneederoo. hey, the Texas Tech Red Raiders.
Oh, God. We had to do this.
Sorry. I waited an hour.
We're going to go down to Austin. We're going to get our butts kicked. We're going to fly back.
Texas is back, folks.
No, they're not. Gross. They're not even back.
Gross.
No Tessitore. I don't see how this goes. And I'm glad Fardaz is practicing. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he practices unless there's going to be some sort of an appearance by him. Which is good, because, you know, 2 days ago I finally got myself on the train of believing there is no chance this guy sees a minute of action for us at Texas Tech.
Yeah. Which, okay, so for this game and for the start, it doesn't really put a band-aid over everything. It's not a heal-all. It's not some sort of magic potion making the suck of the first 4 conference games go away. And probably the first 5. I mean, I'm not saying that they don't have a shot in Austin. Don't get me wrong. No, but if the team
have
showed up
in
Ames,
Austin, maybe a couple of the players will let a flat tire on the way to the arena.
Well, and
get stuck.
The other side of that is if the team that showed up in Ames shows up in Austin, yeah, they got no shot. No shot. Texas is way too talented, and there was a question, hey, how will they respond to their own off-the-court issues with Chris Beard and that storyline that has, you know, finally come to a close as far as this season goes with him being fired. Now they'll have an off-season of who do they get? What does it look like? But as far as this team, I mean, this is one of the most talented teams in the country from the backcourt to the frontcourt. I mean, they're loaded, and they can score a lot. But you've seen them play down a couple times. TCU absolutely let a game slip away when they were running them into the dirt.
Yeah.
They have the same Texas issue that I think all Texas teams have had over the past two decades, is that they're usually really talented. They don't always play up to their talent. And that's part of what you're going to have to catch. And then you know, you're going to have to defend
them.
You know
the funny part about that is? That's the same thing can be said about Texas Tech right now. Except the fact that we are really not playing up. And I'm talking about everybody on this roster right now.
Yeah. Well, no, it's true.
From O'Banner down to Walton.
It looks like, and this was something you were hoping was going to be fixed, and usually it is fixed by this point. Last week, Jamie asked, or maybe it was on Monday, Monday was basically last week to me at this point. Jamie asked if I'm more worried about the offense or the defense. I said offense. Choice in him had said the defense, but then I also responded with, can I be worried about both right now? Because the defense over the past couple of games, and really look to an Oklahoma squad that shouldn't have been this way, too many wide open looks from the three-point line, and also just easily being broken down into the lane. Like, that is not something that has happened over the past 4 years.
What is the difference between that and now? What major thing changed?
Between two games ago and now?
No. Between previous seasons and now.
Oh, I just think you have guys that maybe don't understand the concept right now. Younger guys. Because
you,
I feel like you've seen effort.
Do you have guys that say, I got paid, what do I care? I think we're closer in NCAA. I think you're closer to the NBA than you've ever been. And what do we hate about the NBA? Those guys stand around and they play a bunch of grab ass until the last 2 minutes of every game, and then it's we're gonna try to win this game at the end, and then basically that's how every game goes until someone can get eliminated in the finals, and then they both care for a while, and then they go back to playing the same garbage basketball. That's how the NBA goes, and now you've got players in college who are getting a full ride, and now you got guys getting six figures. And other guys that are getting guaranteed money, and I think they just a whole lot of not caring. And I don't. And if you think that hey, they're gonna go down there and they're gonna want to go put it on Texas because you know it's all for Texas Tech and good old Varsity U, these guys don't care. They're mercenaries, and now you know. I mean, if they leave here, they're gonna go somewhere next year. Do I think Pop Isaac's gonna be here next year? No. I think Popeye's going to say, hey, I'm a stinking great sophomore with 3 years to play and a redshirt year available to me, and I'm going to go off and I'm going to go get on a team that's going to be in the Final Four next year. Do I have to say to Fardaz? That's why I don't think – these guys don't care. Why should I care?
I do think that is a legit worry, and this is what I hate of where you are with college basketball. I've said it a ton of times, and it still holds true, is when you look at the makeup of this team right now, normally – I would be incredibly excited because I think you do have a lot of talented young players being the key part of that. But instead of going, man, I can't wait till insert Elijah Fisher, what he looks like in a couple years, or I can't wait to see what Robert Jennings looks like in a couple years. Nope. It's more of a, are you going to have these guys?
No, you're
not. And it's a terrible state to be in, but that's the reality of what college basketball is right now.
And you're going
to
remake this. Churn that roster year after year after year. Remember, you can grow old with guys. Remember that? Remember we grew old of Andre Emmett? You know, we grew old with, name a guy, Morrow. We grew old with these guys. Mm-hmm. And now these guys are coming in and one-year mercenaries. They come in and get their check. They leave.
The day of a Keenan Evans type player is long gone. But it affects every university.
Yeah,
it affects the smaller schools. In a conference you've never heard of, all the way up to top-tier basketball.
I'd hate to be in Ohio Valley College that has a great player just dominating the league because you know next year that guy's going to be playing in the Big Ten or the SEC on a Power 5 roster, and he's going to be getting a big NIL check, and that's what this is all about now. And these guys, they don't work out, we cut them loose. We go get another crop of guys. It's just like the NBA. And you know what? I'm not here for that. I mean, it's they've taken this away from me. Players got what they wanted. They get to go in and they can transfer wherever they want. They can get their check. They, you know, whatever. A free college education is not to them. Some meal money and all those things not enough for them. Full cost of attendance. All these things that we've catered to these guys. And this is what we have now. Mm-hmm. A bunch of guys that don't care. And now we all want to go out there. Hey, come on. We'll fight for, you know, Texas Tech. Hit them, wreck them, Texas Tech. Fight Matadors evermore. Long live the Matador. They don't care. Mm-hmm. Yeah, these guys are holding their hand up there. They don't even know the words of these songs. I don't care.
Well, and so now when I look at tonight, though, going back to what the original question was from you that started this conversation, if you can't show up tonight, then that's going to tell you a lot because it's freaking Texas, right? It's Texas Tech versus Texas.
Wait a second. How many of these guys care that it's Texas? Seriously, how many of these guys rolled into Lubbock, Texas and knew, hey, that's their biggest rival right there? How many you think Emmett Fardos knew that when he came from Utah Valley State?
No. And that's why I think you're going to find out tonight that answer to your question. Hopefully. It's tomorrow the bottom night. Line of 100.7 The Score. Sorry, tomorrow night.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, a Friday edition. Thank you for spending part of your Friday with us. Tomorrow, man, full slate of stuff really all weekend as it's Wild Card Weekend, plus Texas Tech basketball, but it starts right here at 10:45. A struggling Kentucky Wildcats squad at fifth-ranked Tennessee. That'll start at 10:45 right here on 100.7 The Score. Then at 3 o'clock, Seahawks at 49ers. The day will end with the Chargers at the Jaguars. Over on 107.7 Yes FM, you can hear the Lady Raider basketball team in action at Kansas State. That's starting at 3:30. Both of those squads are 1-3 in conference play. Lady Raiders looking to pick up their second in three tries. And then, of course, on Double T 97.3 at 6 o'clock tomorrow, Texas Tech versus the University of Texas there in Austin. And then on Sunday, all on 100.7 The Score, it's Dolphins at Bills at 11:30, Giants at Vikings at 3:15, and then at 7 o'clock, ending the night, Ravens at the Bengals. You can hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts,
Ravens,
comments, questions?
Ravens at Bengals, one contender.
One contender.
Agreed. Bills at Dolphins. Yo, Adrian! I did it! Dolphins at Bills, one contender.
Yeah, and that's two games where you have the road team coming in there without their starting quarterback, both for the Ravens and the Dolphins.
Giants and Vikings.
I pick Giants
as
an
half of a contender.
I pick Giants as an upset pick.
Yeah, I have a hard time picking the Vikings as a contender. Mm-hmm. I think there's really only one team in the NFC that's a contender.
Give me two. I think the Eagles are. But I like the 49ers
I
more.
I really don't. I think the Eagles are going to get beat by whoever comes to play them.
Now, I will say...
And that could be the Cowboys.
Yeah.
But you know what? I just lied to you because I don't think that the Buccaneers will beat them. So,
But again, when we were doing this earlier, it was to win a Super Bowl. And when the Eagles were playing at their best this year, they certainly looked like they could do that. The problem is, and I know that Jalen Hurts was injured, and that's why you had that couple game slide. But even then, in the last game of the regular season, didn't look like they were all the way back to form. And now you got some weeks off.
Here's the thing:
it's weird right now.
They've won 14 games this year, and they hadn't been actually like super scary to anybody. I mean, they were. I mean, show me the game where they just went in there and completely dominated. Even the game where they beat the Cowboys, when. Dak came back and threw like 8 interceptions in that first game back. I mean, well, no, it was Cooper Rush threw like 8 interceptions that night. They only beat the Cowboys 23-17. It wasn't like they went out there and beat them by 20. They're not super dominating.
So I think the biggest as far as score win that you're looking for is either the road win 48-22 late in the season at New York, who was fighting for a playoff spot. Okay,
but wait a second. That game right there, the Giants basically threw away every. They were playing. You talking about the second to the last week of the season?
No, I'm talking about week.
We're not talking about the second to the last week.
Like week 13, the road win over the Giants, the first time they played, not the last one.
Okay.
And the last one was at home. That was when Jalen Hurts does come back. And again, that was kind of an ugly game. But again, that's against a playoff team in the Giants.
But the Giants were playing their third string guys by the third quarter.
Offensively, I think you have seen enough from the Eagles team. Or I have. I'm not obviously not going to speak for you. I think you've seen enough from the offense. I think Jalen Hurts has obviously made strides. I don't think he'll ultimately be the MVP, but he certainly was in the conversation and should be in the conversation. I think that you have, I mean, more than capable wide receivers with A.J. Brown and with Devontae Smith in there. Also, I think you have a capable tight end with Dallas Goedert. The offensive line has been really good for the Eagles. And defensively, at times, they have been turnover monsters. And so I think that they're a Super Bowl capable team, but it all hinges on if you have a fully healthy Jalen Hurts and a rolling Jalen Hurts. That's why they lost, right? And I get it. That's the argument because Gardner Minshew was in. And I hate, I'm not trying to cape up for the Eagles. But as far as if you're saying that they are a contender, I absolutely think that they're a contender. Again, if they're playing up to the same snuff that they were 4 or 5 weeks ago.
You know, this is just me, and I'm not anti-Eagles or anything like that. This is a team that didn't start the year as a playoff contender. They're a team that really came out of nowhere, and next thing you knew, they were 7-0, then they were 8-0, and all of a sudden they started to kind of believe in the hype, believe in the chug, believe in all that stuff. You know, it's like Kansas was, you know, about week 4. When they met up with week 5, when they met up with TCU, and you know, game day's there, and all of a sudden everyone's, you know, the hype show. The Philadelphia Eagles kind of remind me of TCU right now. You know, you got this shiny record, but you really hadn't beat anybody. You really hadn't done anything super exceptional. And, you know, you kind of limp by, you kind of squeak by, and next thing you know, hey, you're the number one seed, and you're in the playoffs. And, you know, you kind of feel like, somewhere along the lines, there's going to be they're going to meet up with the Kansas City Chiefs, and we're going to have a 65-7 Super Bowl.
I do think it's interesting to me. The four best teams in the NFL, five if you include the Eagles in that, but the other four would be the 49ers right now, would be the Chiefs, would be the Bills, and would be the Bengals, and they didn't play any of them. So if they did make a Super Bowl, one in that math, they would have to go through the 49ers, so that would be one beaten. But then in my mind, I mean, I don't think it's anybody else but those three, and my odds are on the Chiefs right now. To your point, they didn't play any of those other, to me, best teams in the NFL. And I mean, in the AFC, who they drew the Jaguars at the time. They weren't very good. Wasn't the late season Jaguars that we saw that pushed their way into winning that division. The Steelers weren't awesome at the time. They had the Texans and the Colts, and they had the Titans. Okay. So the AFC side, to your point, not exactly the high end of the NFL that they've played. So
yeah,
and I guess, you know, the great things about the playoffs is you're going to find out.
The same ones the Cowboys played.
But again, we didn't have the Cowboys as a contender, so.
Yeah, I mean, they just don't smack me across the face as this, you know, this team that you have to worry about. I mean, if the Cowboys had to go to Philly for the NFC Championship game, and it won't happen because they're going to have to play them in week 2, but if they had to go there hypothetically to play the NFC Championship game, I wouldn't be very terrified of that because, they just don't scare me to death. I mean, let's just face this. If the Cowboys had to play, if they're in the AFC and they had to go play on the road at Kansas City, I'd be biting my fingernails because I'm thinking, Patrick Mahomes is going to carve us up. Mm-hmm. He is. I mean, even with the great defense, I think he's going to carve us up. Mm-hmm. I think the same way about Josh Allen, carve us up. I don't think Jalen Hurts is going to carve us up. I say us. Lee, you know, I was in the team meeting the other day.
He looked at the whole team. Yeah. It's neat that I could do that.
Sure, dude. I can do what Michael Parsons does. Well, I damn sure could throw it to the other team like Dak Prescott.
I'm just asking you to please throw it to a guy wearing the same uniform as you, Dak. You guys were all in the same locker room together. You know which ones are your receivers, okay? There's 88. There's 13. Who else do you have out there? You have, what do you have, 7? No, that's Deggs. He's on the other side. I mean, you got 86. You got 82. All these guys, 83 now. You got a 16. Throw it to one of them. Stop throwing it to the other team. They don't play for you, Dak. They don't play for you.
And now it's official. Ladies and gentlemen, if it wasn't over earlier, which it was, rant-free 2023 between both is over. Look what you did, Dak. You ruined his 2023. How could you?
I mean, is it too much to ask the quarterback? I mean, ideally, you guys practice this stuff during the week. Mm-hmm. Ideally. You guys know the plays. The defenders don't know the plays. Why is it the defenders are in the better position to get your passes than your own receivers? That's all I want to know.
2024 Dallas offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury?
No.
I love that immediately gets thrown out.
No.
Immediately. There's a team that was interested in Kellen Moore as an offensive coordinator and just shifting him over there, but I can't remember which one it was. But
I mean,
I was very interesting. Interesting.
I mean, Kellen Moore is a pretty good offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know people don't like him as an offensive coordinator. I think he does a pretty good job. The execution, I think Dak is tentative. I think he spends a lot of time being worried in the pocket. I don't think he trusts his offensive line a lot. And he panics and he wants the ball out of his hands. And sometimes he rushes throws.
I also think he has very young receivers who don't know how to come back to the ball at times or straight up drop them into a defender. That doesn't help.
This has been the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 100-7thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.